I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Some people dream of taking a road trip to the Grand Canyon, eating pastries in Paris, or exploring the jungles of Brazil. But what about helping kids overseas learn to read and write? Newsweek's national correspondent Allison Samuels did just that. She just got back from the West African country of Ghana, where she spent the last 3 weeks teaching math and English to second graders. Welcome back.
Hi. Good to be back.
We're really excited to hear all about your trip. But, you know, first of all, how did you even decide to do this? What inspired you?
I'd gone to South Africa last year when I did a story on Oprah Winfrey's school. And had visited Soweto, and, you know, I gave money because I just sort of felt like I needed to give money, but I felt like that wasn't enough, that I really needed to come back in a different, you know, just in a different way and be more part of the community. Because you give kids money, but, you know, what does that really do? I really wanted to make a bigger impact, and I wanted to do it in a different part of Africa. I wanted to do it in the western part of Africa because that's, you know, primarily where my ancestors would have come from. So, you know, putting all those things together, Ghana just seemed like the best place.
What was it like? What was the first thing you noticed when you got there?
The first thing I guess I noticed was the extreme heat. That was probably the first thing. It was so hot, my God. And then burning, because they burn all of their trash. So you smell the smoke as soon as you sort of get off the plane. Other than that, I guess I just the friendliness of the people, the, you know, happiness of the people, even given their circumstances, you know, not having some of the simplest things like running water and electricity, still just the joy that you found in everyone's, you know, sort of welcoming of you. That's the part I think that was so amazing to me. And, you know, just walking down the street, there's no sort of fear for your safety. Kids are playing on the street. Kids are running around. I mean, nothing that you would see in the United States at all. You would be so fearful to let your kids do that. But there, you know, there's that sense of community and that safety that, you know, you sort of sense as soon as you sort of hit the town.
So what were the kids like? What kind of kids did you teach? What did you do with them?
Because of the way the school system is, you have to pay and you have to buy a uniform, a lot of kids don't start on time. So I had kids in the second grade who were from 5 years old to 13 years old. And that was sort of a challenge, particularly with some of the older kids. But for the most part, just really adorable kids, very eager to learn. I was teaching them basically their ABCs. And, you know, 1, 2, 3 = 2. I mean, you know, all those kind of things, just the simple mathematics. I was sort of doing that kind of stuff. And their desire to just know more was amazing. You know, always asking questions, always raising their hands to sort of answer the question, you know, always wanting to know what's a duck, what's a quail, what's all the sort of, what's the, you know, they've seen elephants, but just things that in the Western world that are so, you know, sort of apparent, they didn't know. And they were eager to sort of find out. And that was, you know, I just think all of them, they were incredibly adorable. But for me, the major part for me was giving them pencils and paper. I mean, that was stuff that they didn't have that they were so excited to get. And,
well, how did they react to you as a person? I mean, you're a glamorous Los Angelina. And so what did they think when you showed up?
I think that it's interesting because I was in a program called Cross Cultural Solutions where they send volunteers to different areas. I was the first African American that had been in this school. So I think they were confused. I mean, and even people in the town, they were just like, are you from Ghana or are you Yebo? Yebo is a foreigner and most likely more than usually a white foreigner. But I had a couple of people call me Yebo. But they would sort of ask, like, where are you from? And one of the program's administrators would have to explain she's an ancestor of Africans. And then they would say, oh, okay. So it was definitely some confusing sort of looks that I got. But the kids were, you know, kids are very, you know, easy to sort of get along with. These kids were, you know, absolutely adorable. They didn't understand what I was saying a lot of times, but they really connected to me. I mean, I would bring bubbles and jumping ropes and stuff like that, stuff that they had never seen before. So, you know, I was quite popular at the school, I have to say. I mean, particularly with my bubbles that brought even the junior high school kids out.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, no, I felt they really bonded. And when I left, it was just really emotional because I think they didn't quite understand that I wasn't coming back. But, you know, just kept hugging and waving, and they would walk me home, and they called me Sister Alice. They couldn't say Allison. That was a little hard for them. But I was Sister Alice, for better or for worse.
It sounds like you had an amazing time, and yet you mentioned that you were the only African-American, you know, out of a couple dozen volunteers. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is? Why, I mean, what's at the root of that you know, basically a bunch of people who are not of African ancestry going to help out and not people of African ancestry?
Well, I think it's a couple of reasons. I think one is it's a pretty expensive venture. You know, it's a couple of thousand dollars, and then when you get there, you have to spend, you know, even more money, and particularly if you want to help the kids out and give them materials and all that kind of stuff. So you spend a decent amount of money. Also, I don't know if a lot of African Americans actually know that this program exists. It's one of those things where you would have to go out and look for it, and it's one of those things that I have talked about, you know, the program, sort of getting more information out on programs like yours where African Americans can know that this is an opportunity that they have. I also sort of feel like sometimes our connection to Africa isn't as strong as we'd like to think, and I think that, you know, there's a fear in many ways of sort of going to the motherland and just sort of what that is actually going to sort of turn out to be. Is it going to be what you expected or what you thought it would be? I think there's a lot of fear in that that sort of prevents African Americans from doing it. But I think it's very unfortunate because it was such a meaningful trip for me. It was so just, I mean, you know, I just felt like, you know, I felt like I was home. It was just full circle. And I think any African American would get an amazing, you know, an amazing amount of just confidence and just understanding of just sort of who we are from making that trip.
Now, Ghana was one of the ports of departure mm-hmm. for people coming to the Americas who were enslaved. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to follow any of that history?
I did. We actually traveled to Amina, which is where the slave castle, one of the slave castles, actually is located. And that was a really an emotional trip, going through the cells and going through the door of no return, and seeing just how small. I mean, it was just, I can't even begin to describe it, particularly as the only African American. It was really odd. I had to sort of walk away a lot of times as I heard our guide talk about the rape and the torture of the women and of the men, and just the religious aspect of so many sort of Christian people sort of being there while all these things were going on. It was just very overwhelming. But that was probably the most important part of the trip, just actually having that moment to actually, you know, just sort of see where so many horrible things took place and to actually stand in the cells and stand in the holding rooms where you know that your ancestors were and just what that must have been like. I mean, that's all you can do as you stand there is just think what that moment and what that feeling must have been like, not knowing what was going to happen and being put on a ship to go who knows where. They didn't know what was about to happen to them. And when you go to that castle, you totally relive that.
Do you think that there are ways, you know, by sharing an experience like yours, that there will be these connections that are forged more often between Africans and African Americans?
I hope so, because I think that, you know, again, there's a fear of the unknown. And what I'm hoping to do by talking about it and writing about it is just sort of letting people know that it's a wonderful experience, and it's an experience where you can do more than just visit. That was sort of my main sort of reason for wanting to do it. I didn't want to just be a visitor. I wanted to be a part of the community. I wanted to learn the culture. I wanted to feel as though, you know, I was a part of the people, and I actually had a welcome home ceremony that the Queen Mother of the village gave that basically welcomed me back to Africa as an African-American. And that was, like, one of the most beautiful things that I could experience. All the village elders came and presented me with kente cloth and gave me my new name, Imafa, which is peace in Ghana, means peace in Ghana. And it was just this incredible experience, and they were so happy to have me. And the Queen Mother told me I would have a home and land if I ever decided to move back to Ghana. So I'm like, okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to come to your vacation ranch.
Yes.
Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Allison Samuels is a national correspondent for Newsweek magazine.